Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants will be on a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's call. At that time, you can press star 1 to ask a question from the phone lines. I'd also like to inform the parties that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'd now like to turn the call over to Dr. Jahamian. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Farnam Jahamian, Assistant Director of the National Science Foundation for Computer Information Science and Engineering. It's good to be with you this afternoon. With me here is Jeremy Epstein, Program Director in our Division of Computer and Network Systems. On behalf of my colleagues at NSF and SAIS, it's my great pleasure to welcome you to today's webinar to learn about our new program, the SAIS Research Initiation Initiative, or CRII. Our goal with CRII is to support early career researchers who will dedicate their careers to advancing SAIS research and education. The mission of SAIS is to uphold the nation's leadership in scientific discovery and engineering innovation through its support of fundamental research in computer information science and engineering and transformative advances in cyber infrastructure. We also contribute to the education and training of all computing professionals. During my tenure at NSF, I had the privilege of visiting many CSC departments and heard firsthand about the need for support of early career academics in our field. The CRII program was designed to provide this support. It provides an opportunity for individuals who are in their first academic position, post-PhD, to recruit and mentor their first students. This is a critical step, one that we expect will lead to research independence and a subsequent stream of discoveries and impact. CRII is open to any principal investigator in his or her first 2 years of an academic position, exclusive of any postdoc or other traineeship appointment. We expanded the eligibility requirement for the program based on overwhelming community input and consistent with SAIS's commitment to broadening participation. Especially encourage early career researchers who are members of our underrepresented groups to apply. Through the CRII program, we also encourage potentially transformative proposals in any area of SAIS research that we support. This program reaffirms SAIS's commitment to the support and growth of future generations of computer information scientists and engineers, and it complements our investments in the faculty early career or career program. Let me take a moment to thank my colleagues on the SAIS management team for their leadership in formulating the program. And also let me thank Jeremy and our PDs, Almedina Shilkanova and Ephraim Kleinert, for their efforts in steering the program. As you can imagine, there's a tremendous amount of effort that takes place in formulating and launching the programs, and much of the burden is our program directors. Again, I want to thank Al Medina, Jeremy, and Ephraim for their leadership. Let me now turn things over to Jeremy to describe the programmatic details of this program. Jeremy?
Thanks very much, Brian. It's not often, but my name is the easiest one to pronounce. And I join Farnam in thanking you for attending today, and we're very excited to tell you about this program. So I'm going to briefly summarize the goals of the program, the requirements for eligibility, areas of interest to the program, the submission process, review process, and a few of the frequently asked questions. Everything I tell you is a synopsis of the solicitation, which has more details. The recently released FAQ, and by recently I mean about an hour ago, also has many questions and answers. If we don't cover whatever questions you have today, please check the FAQ. If you don't find the answer there, please contact Almedina, Ephraim, or myself. Our contact information is on the CRII website and will also be on the last slide of this presentation. Before I get into the slides, I'll mention that these slides will be posted to the NSF website after the conclusion of this webinar. We're going to try to keep this to an hour. We can stay longer if needed for Q&A. The goal of this program, as Farnam described, is to support researchers in the first 2 years of their academic positions so they can establish their own research programs independent of their advisors. The funds provided are intended to allow you to hire graduate or undergraduate students to get your research program going, including acquiring data, developing algorithms and approaches, building prototypes, and developing collaborations within or across research disciplines. Eligibility for this program, as Farnham said, has been the number one item we've received questions about over the past 2 months since the program was announced. In short, there are three parts to eligibility. First, you must be in an academic position, not a postdoc or research associate, at a university or 2 or 4 year college. It doesn't matter if your position is tenured, tenure track, or neither, nor does your title, such as assistant or associate professor. Your primary appointment must be in an area supported by size, computer science, information science, or electrical or computer engineering being most common but not exclusive. For example, you could be in a mechanical engineering department if your research is in the computing aspects of robotics or smart cars. Second, you must have been in an academic position for no more than 2 years since your PhD, not counting family or medical leave. Positions in government or industry do not count against this 2-year limit. Neither do positions as postdocs or research associates. However, academic positions held overseas, whether tenured, tenure track, or not, do not count towards the 2-year limit. The third part of eligibility is that you have not received any grants from NSF or other agencies in the PI role. Being in the co-PI role does not disqualify, nor do any of these other types of NSF grants shown on the slide. Additionally, awards from your university or contracts from a company or private foundation do not disqualify. Note that if you have a collaborative NSF grant, the lead PI from each institution is considered a PI, so even being the PI from a non-lead institution would disqualify. The two questions in determining eligibility are, one, where does the money come from, and two, what is your role? The amount of money involved does not matter, be it small or large. Note that the rule is as of the time of the award, not the time of submission. So if your proposal is selected for an award, the NSF program officer will ask you to certify that you have not received any disqualifying grants. As I said earlier, and as Farnham said, this program is open to faculty doing research in any of the areas supported by size. This slide lists the current size programs that are accepting CRII submissions. Your proposal must list at least one program which is relevant to your research proposal. Descriptions of each of these programs can be found on the NSF website. And we'll come back in a minute to how you identify which program you're targeting. As described in the solicitation, proposals are limited to 10 pages, not the 15-page limit typical for most NSF proposals. I'm not going to review the rules for fonts and margins. Please see the NSF grant proposal guide for instructions. Trying to squeeze more text in by reducing fonts or margins is not only frustrating to reviewers, but is also likely to have your proposal returned without review. A few other points on submission. No co-PIs or other senior personnel are permitted. However, consultants and sub-awardees are allowed. The proposal must be for no more than $175,000 over 2 years. You may only submit one CRII proposal. A common question is whether a PI may submit both a CRII and a career proposal in the same year. The answer is yes. An important point with respect to eligibility is the 2-year rule. If you started your academic position on September 1st, 2012, for example, you may submit to this solicitation, but only if your submission is received by September 1st, 2014. If you wait until the September 24th, 2014 deadline, you will be ineligible unless part of your time was spent on family or medical leave. The data management plan is required to be submitted as a supplementary document in Fastlane. If you have included postdocs in your budget, you must also have a one-page postdoc mentoring plan submitted as a supplementary document. Your proposal must include a letter from your department chair certifying that you meet the eligibility requirements, including the 2-year rule. if you joined your institution prior to September 24, 2012, that is 2 years before the solicitation due date, the department chair letter must state the exact date when you joined, and if you were using the family or medical leave exemption, should explain that time window. As I previously mentioned, every proposal must be targeted at one or more of these size programs. The title of your proposal should begin with a string CRII colon, followed by the acronyms, which you can see in parentheses on this slide, of the program or programs that are appropriate. We suggest one or two programs, but there is no limit. This program name does not guarantee which program will look at your proposal, but will help us find the most appropriate program officer to manage your proposal. You can see a sample title there at the bottom. Proposals will be reviewed using the standard NSF merit review process, which will include consideration of both intellectual merit and broader impact. Unlike career proposals, there is not a specific educational component required. Factors that will be considered in the review process include relevance to one or more of the size programs, as mentioned on the previous slide, the appropriateness of the research to a two-year window, the potential to produce sufficient preliminary research to help you prepare for other research awards such as career, and whether the activities are appropriate to help you achieve research independence. The budget is intended to mostly be spent on students, including both undergraduates and graduates. Some fraction may go to specialized equipment, such as unique hardware or software. Ordinary laptops and servers should not be included in the budget. Some travel funds are expected. No funds may go to the PI, whether for summer salary, course buyouts, or academic year support. As noted, the proposal must not exceed $175,000. REU supplements may be embedded in the proposal, see the GPG for instructions, in which case the budget can exceed $175,000 by the amount of the REU supplement. REU supplements can also be added after the fact following standard NSF policies. I'm going to go over a few of the common questions we've been hearing a lot over the past few months, and then we'll open the phone. So the first question, is a tenure track appointment required? No. Eligible PIs must be in the first 2 years of a tenure track or research science or education position or equivalent. Does receiving an EAGR as a PI disqualify me? Yes. Any grant from an agency as a PI or as a PI from a non-lead institution, regardless of size, with the exceptions previously noted, disqualifies the PI. What are appropriate uses of funds for faculty at two-year and undergraduate-only institutions? Funds may be allocated to undergraduate support. The proposal should describe a mentoring plan as well as strategies for integrating the undergraduates into a research group given their heavy course load. Does submitting a CRII prevent a future career award? No. We expect that many CRII awardees will subsequently submit career proposals. May I submit career and CRII in the same year? Yes, you may, providing that the two proposals are substantially different. However, the CRII program is intended to provide faculty with resources to enable them to begin their research and achieve preliminary results that will, in turn, allow them, when ready, to write proposals that are more likely to succeed in very competitive programs such as career. May I submit the same proposal to CRII as another program? No, the same proposal may not be submitted twice. Does a submission to CRII count towards the two proposal limit for size core programs or other size programs? No, you can submit one proposal to CRII without impact on the limits in any other solicitation. How many awards will be made? We expect to make 25 to 30 CRII awards, subject to the availability of funds. And that's the last of the prepared questions. Thank you for listening as to this summary of the program. My colleague Almadina Shelkanova and I will be happy to answer your questions. Operator, please open the phone lines.
If you would like to ask a question from the phone lines, please press star 1. You will be prompted to unmute your phone and record your name. Again, it is star 1 to ask a question. One moment, please, for the first question. Jennifer Woods, your line is now open.
Thank you. My question is about the broader impacts. Given that the award period is shorter than the typical NSF grant, the proposal length is shorter, and the focus of the CRI program is to allow researchers to achieve preliminary results, what is the expectation for the broader impacts discussion in the proposal? That is, will broader impacts be reviewed in the same way as a regular NSF proposal?
Yes. The quantity of the broader impacts will obviously be smaller for the reasons you identified, but they will certainly, we will certainly be looking at broader impacts, and they will certainly be there in education areas and potentially in outreach in other areas as well. So, yes, definitely expect broader impacts.
Thank you.
You want to read that one out?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Almadena Shukanova. And I'm a program director that will be responsible for computing a communication foundation proposals and also advanced computing infrastructure. So we received the following question from Charles Driggers. How does NSF avoid funding proposals which are likely to be privately funded anyway? It's a very good question. And every PI that submits a proposal is supposed to indicate current and pending support information. And I believe it also includes funds from industry. So, of course, it's very hard for us to anticipate a research proposal that will be funded by industry in the future. But we have a way to communicate with other federal agencies and to compare notes on what we are funding.
In addition, all of us as program officers monitor the literature, attend conferences, et cetera. By doing so, we're aware of what's going on in the research world. So if there is existing research in that area in industry, we would know about it through publications and conferences. And additionally, the focus of this program and of NSF in general is on foundational research, and that's research that is less likely to be funded in industry. Are there other questions on the phone?
Yes. Radha, your line is now open.
Yes, I just wanted to thank Jeremy and NSF for doing this wonderful program. I'm a professor for other students, so it's a wonderful thing for mentoring the students.
Thank you.
So we have another question from Charles Triggers. So does the proposal review criteria factor cost of living where the research is going to occur? Not explicitly. However, I guess the cost of students depends on where you conduct your research. So, but the limit still stays. And Charles brought us, sent us another question. What happens to those research projects that's sufficiently proven to create interest in taking it to the next step? That is, what's the next step? It's, I would say, outside the scope of this webinar, but just to answer you, Charles, we tend to try to make sure that all the foundational research that is funded by NSF eventually find a way, if there is opportunity, to transition to prototypes or to industry. And one of the ways we're doing it by having iCorps program, which helps faculty members to start their own companies. We also coordinate with other agencies that are more mission-driven as opposed to NSF. NSF is foundational research-driven, and mission agency, they, you know, try to take advantage of the foundational research results that NSF researchers make.
In addition, the next step for many of our researchers is to submit a career proposal or a small proposal or various other proposals. So it's not intended that this is the end of the line, but rather the start. Operator, could you repeat the instructions for the attendees on how to ask the question through the phone rather than through the chat? It's more efficient that way, please.
To ask a question from the phone lines, please press star 1. You'll be prompted to unmute your phone and record your name. Again, that's star 1.
Okay. Are there other questions on the phone?
Yes. We have several questions from the phone line. David, your line is now open.
Yeah, hi. This is David Ryder and Jesse Lee at Penn State. We're wondering if the submission window is open at this time.
Yes, there is a deadline of September 24th, but the submission window is open. And as I mentioned in my presentation, if your deadline, if your anniversary of your position with your university comes up earlier than September 24th, you want to make sure you submit early. For example, there are some people who will be submitting, I suspect, on August 1st, if that's their anniversary date. So, yes, you can submit any time.
Indeed. Thank you.
I don't think I've received any so far, but it's open. Next question, please, operator.
Mar, your line is open. Omar, your line is now open.
Yes. My question was about how does the proposal, one of the merits of the review is to decide whether the proposal will contribute to a future grant, successful grant application. But how is this evaluated? Do I need to add a section explaining my future plans beyond CRI?
No, you're supposed to be describing your research. But not your plans beyond the end of CRII. I'm being prompted to remind you that intellectual merit and broader impact are, of course, the two aspects that we look for in all proposals, but we're not looking for a prediction of your next proposal.
At the same time, I feel that if you indicate how your proposed research fits your overall career goals and fits the grand scheme of things, but don't spend too much space on it.
Yep. Okay. Operator, next question, please.
Sarjeet Roy, your line is open.
Hi, this is Sarjeet Roy from Colorado State University. And so I wanted to ask that given the mission of the CRIA is to enable new assistant, new faculty members to generate preliminary data, if I already have some preliminary data for this CRIA proposal itself, can that be included within that 10-page?
Sure. There's no reason you can't include it. Many people will have preliminary data from doing their PhD work, for example, and that might be something that someone might want to include.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Arizindan, your line is now open.
Hi. Since the CRIA grants are supposed to lead up to a career proposal potentially, I was wondering if I'm applying for a career proposal a year from now, can I build off of the CRIA proposal to put in my career proposal?
Well, I would certainly expect that the topics would be related because this is your research area, and there may be parts of the material that you might reuse, but you cannot submit the same proposal, of course.
Okay, great. Yeah, no, I was just wondering because it needs to be distinct if they are submitted at the same time, but if it is a year from now, then, if it can share material.
But please also remember that this is a two-year project, and career is a five-year project. In your career proposal, you have to make a very, you have to make a very convincing argument that the research you are proposing is indeed warrants 5 years of your time. So, I hope it answers your question.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, next question, please.
Nariko, your line is now open.
Hi, I think my question is somewhat similar to what has been asked before. I'm just curious to hear what would be the role of preliminary work for this kind of proposal. Do you expect us to write anything substantial in terms of preliminary work, or you will be accepting proposals that have no preliminary work at all? I'm just curious to hear more about that.
Well, could you put the person on a hard time responding? Thank you.
Sorry, I cannot hear very well.
Okay, I'm having a little trouble, but I'll try to do this. It's hard because of the echo. Okay, so we don't expect that you will have preliminary results, but you should be obviously familiar with the research area in which you are proposing, and so you would have done literature research, and you would have some argument why you expect that the research will be successful, but we don't expect to have preliminary results as part of a CRII proposal.
Also, you have to remember that because funding is allowed for graduate students and undergraduate students, whatever you want them to do has to be, it has to match at least the basic skill set, because you have a very short window of opportunity to hire students. So it has to be a very convincing case that you carry research that you actually, your students can execute.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Julia, your line is open.
Hi, my original question was answered, but I'm going to ask, what is the expectation of when we will be notified about the outcome of this, and what is the review process? How similar is it to the career review process?
So the expectation is that we will give you notification in time for you to hire students in the spring hiring season. That's why the deadline is when it is, even though we know it's inconvenient as you're trying to get the fall semester started. In terms of, I'm sorry, what was the second half?
What is the review process? How similar is it to the career? Are the panels similar?
This is the first year we're doing this, but it will certainly be the NSF merit review process, and it will be reviewed by panels. Obviously, the expectations are different because of what the nature of the program is to help you begin developing your research program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Honey, your line is now open.
Hi. I had a question related to undergraduate-only institutions. I'm at an undergraduate-only institution, so I was wondering what are the chances of receiving this funding for such an institution. Would you be able to ask for a postdoc and maybe use your collaborations with bigger universities to justify the mentoring plan for the postdoc?
You can certainly do a postdoc. That's allowed. Wait a second. I think that's right. Is that right? Am I remembering correctly?
I think so.
Yeah, postdocs are allowed. And working with another university might be an effective way, but there's no requirement to do so. Having undergraduates, it certainly has certain challenges to do that, but it's permitted and encouraged for undergraduate institutions. You can also tag your proposal with the RUI option, and then you can give
a letter.
I can't remember what it's called. There's some
certification letter.
Certification letter, yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your question?
It does. I guess I'll contact you about the REU, I forget what the abbreviation is.
RUI.
RUI and how it it affects the submission process if you're doing an RUI only.
Could you please first read the question and answer that we're going to publish? So it's all explained there, really.
I think
yeah.
so.
But if you just give it like a day for it to be posted, it's there.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks for your question. Next question, please.
Charles, your line is open.
What percentage of awardees are projected to use this funding to start a company?
The expectation is this is going to be to start research projects, not specifically to start companies. Some of them may, as a byproduct of their research, start companies, but that's not the primary goal. As to a percentage, I wouldn't even hazard a guess.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Next question, please. Operator, next question, please.
Rigel, your line is now open.
Hello. My question is about the eligibility criteria. I'd like to clarify. Does the PI have to be a faculty position, a new faculty position in their department, or are other positions like academic professionals also eligible to apply, like research scientists? Or?
It has to be an academic position. It doesn't have to be a teaching faculty. It could be research faculty, but not, for example, research associates.
Okay, thanks.
And if you have specific questions, that would be something reasonable to contact us afterwards.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Next question, please.
Omar, your line is open.
Yes, my proposal is going to describe, it's like a continuation of my PhD work. So in that sense, it is not really collecting preliminary results. Is that still suitable for the CRI?
As long as you have a new research angle or new questions you're trying to answer that will help you get your research program up and running, yes.
Okay, so it's like an extension of my previous work, so that will still be okay?
I think that would be okay, yeah. In that case, I would expect to see some significant preliminary results.
Preliminary results as an outcome of the proposal.
Yes.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Sung John, your line is now open.
You already answered partly that post-ex were allowed, and it was mentioned on your slides, but there was also a statement on the slide saying that most of the funds should go to students. So I was wondering, is that a conflict? Do you prefer student support, or what's the deal with post-ex?
I think we're looking mostly for PhD students, except for obviously undergraduate institutions where it will be undergraduates. Postdocs are allowed, but I wouldn't think that a significant, for example, I wouldn't want to see a majority of the funds going to a postdoc. No.
Okay. Thanks.
And I apologize for obviously looking off camera to get advice. You don't do that in the presidential debates, but you can do that at NSF. Next question, please.
Arizindan, your line is now open.
Hi. I'm starting an assistant professor position in September 2015, and I have an adjunct position at the university till then. Am I eligible to apply now so that I can start using the funds when I start in fall 2015?
I'm sorry, I didn't follow that. You had an adjunct position until 2008 or since 2008?
No, this is 2015. So I'm starting my tenure track position in 2015, fall 2015, 1 year from now, and I have an adjunct position till then. Will I be eligible to apply now so that I can start using my funds right when I join?
I'm not really sure.
Send us your email.
Yeah, send us an email. I don't want to give a live answer to that one without thinking about
it. As much detail as you can provide so we can determine and get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Next question, please.
Sarjeet, your line is now open.
Hi, this is Sarjeet from Colorado State, and to a certain extent you have already answered my question. Well,
what I wanted to know was that given that I've just recently joined as assistant professor, so in the preliminary results, if I do have some substantial results from my PhD thesis, but I am actually looking to ask some new questions related to my PhD work, but completely new questions, so I can put it in the preliminary results section, right, so long as I am within the 10-page limit.
That's right.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Next question, please.
Taylor Johnson, your line is open.
Hi, thank you. I have a question about eligibility based on previous funding. Do faculty fellowships, such as summer fellowships that provide only summer support, preclude eligibility?
No.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure. Next question.
Richard Wang, your line is open.
Yeah, hello. My question is, so if I submit a proposal this year and I'm not funded, am I allowed to submit a proposal next year? Suppose I still qualify for the two-year limit.
Yes. Assuming you're still eligible next year, you may submit CRII again next year. It's not a one-time limit. It's a 2 years since your first academic position limit, but there's not a limit on how many times within that 2 years.
Yeah, I see. Thank you very much.
Sure. Next question, please.
Neriko, your line is now open.
Hi, I just wanted to know if I have a student that is funded by my department or my summer or my startup funding, can I, and this student is already doing some work that I'm going to use as preliminary work for my proposal, should I mention that in the proposal explicitly and say that I already have a student who's working on that?
If you think it's appropriate, that's fine. It's not required. You would certainly want to discuss the preliminary work. Whether you mentioned how the student is being funded is really up to you. There's
okay.
No particular advantage or disadvantage to mentioning how they're funded.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Next question, please.
Hamid, your line is open.
Hello, I'm from University of Illinois, and I was wondering that the behavioral research questions related to the area of human-computer interactions acceptable in this fund?
That's a good question. I think it really depends on where you're going to publish and what the focus of the research is, whether it's computer science-type research or whether it's fundamentally social science research.
If it is more related to the management information systems and the journals and the outlets related to that area, are they acceptable?
Most likely, yes. What you want to do is you want to look at the specific solicitations we have. For example, the CHS solicitation will give you an idea of the cyber-human systems, is that what it is? Of the topics that are in scope for that, and as long as it fits within the scope of that program, then it would certainly be within scope for CRII.
I also suggest that you contact Ephraim Gleaner, who is our representative for IIS division, and I'm sure he can, point to you even better. But I think that it is within the scope.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. Next question, please. Your next question, please.
Fang, your line is open.
Is it for me? Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. The quick question is, if I have already submitted a proposal to NSF as co-PI, is that affected the eligibility for this one?
No. If you were co-PI, if you were co-PI, it would definitely not affect your eligibility. If it was as PI, then if that proposal was funded, then it would affect your eligibility. But as long as it hasn't been funded, you're eligible. So please go ahead and submit.
Thank you. Another quick question is, can I submit another proposal to NSF right after submitting this one and before the result coming out of this one? So is that also affecting the, like, if I don't know the result of this one, at the same time, I submit another proposal to NSF, is that fine or it's not okay?
Well, you can submit another proposal at the same time. If that one happens to be selected and funded before we make CNRII decisions, then if it were funded, then you would become ineligible for CRII, even though you were eligible at the time of submission. But if you're counting on the results of the CRII for this other proposal, then it would seem that you would be relying on having won the CRII in order to do that. So I guess I don't quite understand how you would get that result.
Also, you have to remember that you cannot have two identical proposals under review. Proposals are sufficient and different. And you can submit updated proposal only when you already have a decision made on a previous one.
Sure,
So the, if that one been accepted, then this one, you have to make decision. Like, for instance, both accept, you have to make decision, cancel one, or is that right? Is that my understanding, or?
You mean if, for example, you submitted a small proposal and we made the decision on that before we made the decision, and then we made the decision to fund the CRII, and how would we iron it out? The answer is whichever one gets funded first gets funded.
Okay.
If CRII, then in theory you could win a CRII on Monday, something else on Tuesday, but that's not going to happen.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, sure. Next question, please.
Samir, your line is open.
Samir?
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sorry about that. My question is also regarding eligibility. One of the exceptions are graduate research fellowships. And my question is, as a postdoc, I support an undergraduate student, so it's an undergraduate scholarship from a statewide NASA space grant. Am I still eligible?
Yes, you are still eligible.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Next question, please.
Omar, your line is open.
Yes, you mentioned earlier that the expectations that most of the funding will go for PhD students, but since CRII is only for 2 years, it is easier to manage the budget for master's students. So is there a preference for PhD students for any reason, or master's students are also okay?
Master's students are fine, as are undergraduates. It's all what you need in order to get the research done.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure. Next question, please.
Yolanda Rankin, your line is open.
Yes, I'm at Spelman College, and I have two questions. So the first one is, given the limitations of this particular RFP, meaning you can't have academic salary or course bio, et cetera, are there still direct costs allocated to your home institution?
Well, you would have whatever overhead and indirect costs are added to student salaries and stipends and tuition. Those would be the only costs that would go to your institution.
Okay. All right. And my second question is, I understand that you say you couldn't have equipment. This is what I think I heard you say the first part of this call. Is that just in general no equipment whatsoever, or I think you may have said specialized equipment. So what constitutes a specialized equipment?
So yes to specialized equipment, no to general purpose things like laptops and iPads and things like that, unless they're going to be dedicated for a particular reason. Specialized equipment, if you were working in cyber physical systems, for example, you might want to buy control devices to experiment on, or you might, if you were working in health systems, you might want to look at medical devices. So things like that that are not off-the-shelf laptops and desktops would certainly be acceptable as equipment.
Okay, so let me clarify why I'm asking this question. My particular research deals with design of games, and so you're looking at specific types of laptops that can basically run the graphics card, that kind of thing. So that's not going to be just a typical laptop. So for my students, when I work with them, because I'm at an undergraduate institution, they don't have that kind of equipment. So would that be considered, quote-unquote, specialized equipment? And if so, could I make an argument for that? Is that still considered, that's laptop? We're not.
That would be a reasonable thing. You would want to, in your budget justification, you would want to explain why this is not just an ordinary laptop. Because it has these high-performance graphics cards for gaming. That's not an issue.
Okay, thank you.
Questions about that, you should also feel free to get us offline, because that's an unusual question.
You also have to remember that whatever equipment you buy to use for this specific award has to be used on the research supported by this specific award.
Right. It would be. Thank you.
Sure. Next question, please.
Tumik, your line is open.
Hi. I had a question regarding the collaborative efforts. How important is to show that I'll have a collaboration for this? I mean, is it okay if I list only myself as the PI and my students and not any specific collaboration for the CRIA effort?
You're not allowed to have any co-PIs on this or, I think, consultants or things like that. Consultants are allowed, You're not allowed to have any co-PIs, though. Collaborators would be useful. Certainly not required.
Okay, thanks.
Next question, please.
Charles, your line is open.
I'm a little confused. Please specify the return on the investment to the American taxpayer on these grants. And I assume that the ROI is measurable versus simply stating 25 awards were made.
Would you please send your question in writing to the working group? And
I just submitted. It is on the chat also.
Okay. We'll get back to you after this is over. That's a more complicated question.
Is it? Okay.
Thank you. Next question, please.
I'll record my email on there for you, too.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm showing no further questions in the phone line.
Okay. We're going to give it just a minute for any last questions to come in.
And again, could you please repeat where frequently asked questions will be posted?
Right. Great question. And you didn't even have to push star one to do that. If you go to nsf.gov and select publications, you'll see it at the very top of the list. Or if you go to the CRII webpage on the size page, you'll also find it there a little bit later today. I don't think that it's been put there quite yet. You can also search for NSF14-101. That's the document number for the FAQ, and that will give you roughly 40 questions and answers. Operator, do we have any other questions on the phone?
We do have a couple more questions. Sarjeet, your line is open.
Okay. Hi. So I just missed the last question, and I wanted to confirm that. So it's not a requirement that we need to have some collaborators for the CRII, right?
That's correct. It is not required to have collaborations for the CRII.
And if we do have some collaboration, then do we need to put a letter for a collaboration along with the rest of the supplementary documents?
You would want to have a letter and make sure that letter describes a collaboration and not a support. And the difference is that a collaboration specifically says what they're going to do to work with you, whether it's someone from industry or another university. It needs to spell out what they're going to do and not just saying that they think your research is important.
Right. And that person can definitely not be a co-PI because there are no co-PIs, right?
That's correct.
Perfect. Thank you.
Sure. Next question, please.
Samir, your line is open.
Samir, we can't hear you again.
I'm sorry, I keep leaving it on mute. I'm sorry about that. So you just answered my question that was just now regarding collaborations and the letter of support, so I'm good. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Samir. Next question, please.
Showing no further questions from the phone line.
Okay, I think that's about it. Let's go to the takeaway slide. So I want to thank you all for participating in the webinar and for asking lots of good questions. We hope the CRII program will enable new faculty members to initiate independent research through funding students and related support. The slides and audio of this webinar will be posted to the SCI's website in the next few days. And as a final reminder, proposals are due September 24th, but if your two-year anniversary date comes sooner, then that is your deadline. And with that, thank you very much. And operator, if you would close the call.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.